Blog Talk Radio.
And a runner at third, nobody out in the first and didn't score. Second and third, one out in the second and didn't score. Smith corks one into right down the line. It may go. Go crazy, folks. Go crazy. It's a home run, and the Cardinals have won the game by the score of 3-2 on a home run by the Wizard. Go crazy.
Hey, guys. Welcome to another edition of UCB United Cardinals Bloggers Radio. I'm Zach Gifford from the Intrepid STL, and I will be joined shortly by Colin Garner of the Redbird Daily. Colin, can you hear me now?
Yeah. Am I live right now?
Yeah, we're live. Okay, so we're good. A little bit of a hiccup starting it up this time, but no big deal. So I guess, you know, a little bit of news today, I guess, with the Players Weekend uniforms being released by the MLB, a lot of teams, or if you haven't heard about it, these teams are going to wear basically what look, in my opinion, kind of like slow-pitch softball jerseys with their nicknames on the back instead of their last names for a weekend, I think the last weekend of August or maybe the second to last weekend. I think it's around the 25th. The Cardinals, I think, looking through, were a little bit uncreative with their nicknames. I don't know, Colin, what do you think about them from what you've seen?
I'm not a huge fan of the nicknames. I mean, those guys who are going to have the good ones, I guess, Yachty, which isn't really a nickname around St. Louis. It's kind of just what we call them. There's a couple other good ones. Stephen Piscotty had a tribute to his mom, I think. As far as the names, I don't really mind that. I would prefer that they stick with the traditional jersey, the all-white with the birds on the bat. I'm not really ever a fan of their gimmicky jerseys. I understand the cause behind, you know, the military appreciation jerseys and the Mother's Day and Father's Day ones and the other 52 and a half that they seem to have. I understand what they're doing with them. I don't necessarily love it. I like the traditional look, but, you know, it's an interesting thing. The Cardinals probably aren't the most exciting team to do something like that, but, you know, it is what it is, and I'll still watch the game.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely agree. I wish that they would have done this nickname thing with, like, the kind of the Saturday jerseys with the St. Louis with the birds on the bat. I really like those jerseys. I don't think you need to really change it up too much. I guess MLB probably wants to make it different to promote jersey sales, but I think, you know, having nicknames for these guys will do that on its own. But I'm looking through right now. The ones that really stand out, I mean, you know, Carpenter just did Carp. That's not really that creative. Wainwright did Waino. That's fine. Dexter Fowler, Tsunami, Carlos Martinez, which – he could have gone with Tsunami or El Gallo. Tsunami, obviously, the name of his charity, and so I think that's a good play for him. There's a couple guys that I think really missed on some things. You have, Trevor Rosenthal, instead of going with Rosie, went with Big T, which I've never heard him called Big T on any broadcast. You know, we all call him Rosie from the outside, but maybe inside that's what he goes by. I don't know. Grichik just went with Grich. Could have gone with, I don't know, I mean, I guess we kind of, I don't know if it's jokingly or for real, refer to him as Stallion. So maybe a little bit of a miss there. Go ahead.
I don't know if anyone calls him Stallion except for the guys on Twitter. So,
yeah, that's,
I mean,
that's what I don't know.
Maybe he doesn't,
like,
even,
I don't know,
he's
how
not
much
even aware of it. I have never seen
up
it anywhere else on Twitter.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I don't know how much of this is stuff that's just made up on Twitter or how much of it's, you know, actually said. I mean, I assume most of what we say isn't said by players, but you think that, I don't know, you see around the league, guys had a lot more fun with it. AJ Ellis, I think, is he with the Phillies now? I think he's with the Phillies now. He just has
Miami
on his back. Miami, okay.
Well, and Josh Begley was a player to be named later in a trade. And his says PTBNL on the back for player to be named later, which is pretty outstanding shade throwing. I saw on Twitter. I mean, that's pretty awesome. I like that a lot. The Athletics ones look really good. The green and yellow looks a lot better than the Cardinals red and navy, but, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, it kind of seems, I don't know, navy is the main color, seems a little weird to me. I could see, you know, maybe navy sleeves, but you're taking basically what's almost their third color probably behind, you know, red and white and making it the main color of these jerseys. Like, I don't know, if I saw this, if you saw it from a distance, you would have no idea really that it was a Cardinals jersey. It doesn't look like the spring training jerseys, which I like kind of those all red ones. These just kind of, I don't know, like I said, they kind of remind me of what I, you know, see playing slow pitch softball or something like that. It just seems like they're trying to be fun, but it's just kind of, it doesn't really jive with what we expect to see in these guys.
Right.
But hopefully, you know, hopefully they have fun with it. I hope, you know, there's a cause or something that this is going to. I mean, I guess player appreciation is probably good enough. Like you said, we'll still watch the game. It's, I don't know. I was hoping the Cardinals might have a little more fun with it. It seems kind of standard, maybe a little bit boring, but we kind of already knew that about this team, so I don't know how big of a surprise that
is.
Yeah,
it's just – well, did you see why Paulie D on the back, which is pretty good? But there's in horse racing, has that trademark. So it wasn't able to, and, I mean, I don't know if maybe they could have spelled it differently or something, but instead it just says DeYoung, which is kind of disappointing because Paulie D would have been a good one.
Yeah, Paulie D, that I think was Jersey Shore. I never watched Jersey Shore. That was a little bit, I imagine it was a little bit before, I mean, we're about the same age, so we were a little young for it, but I think it was something to do. I think one of the main characters in Jersey Shore went by Paulie D. And that, I know that show ran for a little while and he sounded like he got it trademarked. So, yeah. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. You don't know, like you just said with that, how much kind of room the players had to be creative. But I don't know. Hopefully they had fun with it. Maybe, you know, we can make fun of it a little bit on Twitter. Hopefully they make fun of it a little bit themselves. And, you know, just kind of lighten up the clubhouse a little bit. So I guess pivoting to more strictly baseball, the Cardinals now sit 2.5 games back in the division race, and there's only 3.5 games separating the first place Chicago Cubs from the fourth place Pittsburgh Pirates. And so a division that most people had written off a little bit at the beginning of the year, thinking the Cubs were going to run away with it, and that between, you know, we originally thought between St. Louis and Pittsburgh that they'd be playing for sort of the second wild card. It's turned into really a four-horse race for the division, with the second-place team in the division very likely missing out on a wild card after the Diamondbacks and Colorado Rockies got off to especially hot starts this year. So I guess, you know, after all of the trouble that we had with this team throughout the whole season, to finally get to 500 and then now a game above and still have the opportunity to be in this race, I think is really extraordinary. It required some remarkable underachievement by the Cubs thus far, but you've shortened the season now to less than 2 months, and you're 2.5 games out, 3 back in the loss column, and so you're right there. So any thoughts you have on what you're looking for down the stretch, or what you've seen maybe over the last few weeks to kind of give hope a little bit that the Cardinals can take control of this race and maybe win it out come September and October?
Well, when they lost on Sunday in Milwaukee, that was kind of me putting them to rest, I guess. I kind of admit they were 5.5 out at the time. You know, they weren't playing great. They weren't hitting at all. I had kind of made my peace with the team. They were who they were. They're mediocre. If they finished 500, that was probably their ceiling. And I had pretty much turned my attention to the minor leagues, to be quite honest. And then as soon as I kind of quit really intensely following the major league club, they start scoring 10 runs a game. The Cubs go on a little slide, and now, like you said, they're 2.5 out, finally above 500, which is good to see, but it kind of goes to show you how our expectations have changed over the last year and a half or so. But I don't know how these formulas, what goes into these formulas for these playoff odds, and Fangraphs and Baseball Prospectus are both different. But the Cardinals' playoff odds haven't changed all that much. They're at 22.3% chance to make the playoffs per Fangraphs and about 27.8% to make the playoffs per Baseball Prospectus. You know, I mean, that's still not great, right? I mean, it's 1-4, essentially. I think that if they're not going to score 10 runs a game, but you need to see a more resurgence from Jed Jerko. He had the home run last night. I know Yadi's not a fifth hitter, but I think he's exceeding offensive expectations. I know some of the more advanced metrics aren't so friendly to him, but when you consider that he's a catcher, I think he's fine as a hitter. Carpenter probably needs to start hitting for some power. The big question mark to me, and it's been the question mark for this offense since the very beginning of the season, is going to be Stephen Piscotty or Randall Grichuk. Now, Piscotty was just demoted. A lot of people were really down on Piscotty during that series in Milwaukee, and the results weren't there. I'll give you that. But there was a couple at-bats where he was right on some fastballs, fouled them straight back. And, I mean, eventually he just couldn't square one up. But I thought his swing looked better. I think he's close. Maybe this is just, you know, the eternal optimist in me, but I think Piscotty, I don't think he's a lost cause. I know we both agree that the extension wasn't great, but I also think we probably both agree he's better than he's shown this year. So I think if one of them can really catch fire over the next 2 months, this offense can have the chance to put them over the hump. You know, and when the offense has scored in stretches this year, and there's been a couple times when they've scored enough, the team has been really good. And Craig Edwards over at Viva Alberto's had an article on that yesterday. That maybe they're not quite as bad as we thought, you know. And so I think for me it comes down to Grichuk and Piscotty.
Right. So I saw today from Bernie that the Cardinals have like the second best record in the MLB since like June 25th, which I guess for that to happen, a lot of other teams must be sort of stagnating. I think the team they're behind would be the Dodgers, who have had the most ridiculous 50-game stretch of baseball arguably ever. But, yeah, I definitely agree that the question coming down the stretch is going to be either who can heat up and carry the offense, or, you know, can Piscotty get back to form, or can Grichuk, you know, can we ride a Grichuk hot streak for a month or more? Because really, this team doesn't have like any sort of flash, or like any, there's not a hitter in the lineup that pitchers are worried about, I don't think. And so basically you kind of need to sort of sequence things right, which I don't know how much you look at base runs, but base runs does projected win-loss records based mostly on run differential, and it kind of tries to smooth out sequencing things, because obviously, you know, getting four hits in one inning is different from getting four hits over five innings. But realistically, you're not always going to string your four hits together, and you're not always going to get your four hits in one inning. So while win-loss matters, base runs tries to basically give an expected win-loss based on your talent level. And I think the Cardinals right now are, let me see, they're 11 games over 500 in their base runs record. So their plus minus is minus -5, which is one of the biggest, if not second, I think it's the second biggest, one of the biggest negative differentials. Second biggest negative differential in the National League. So basically they've played like a team who should be about 10 games over 500, but when they get hot, they, you know, like we've seen the last few days, they'll put up 10 plus runs in a game, but there's also games that they just look like they totally are, you know, clueless at the plate and put up, you know, 0 or 1 and lose games that they really shouldn't. And so how much of that, to me, what you have to look at is how much of that is luck and how much of that is, you know, an actual skill issue where, you know, they're able to hit with guys on base and, but aren't good enough to hit with the bases empty to get rallies started. So they're in a really weird situation because obviously if they were, you know, even 5 or 6 games over 500, they have a really good shot at the division and nobody's really complaining about what's happened so far this year. And honestly, people probably aren't calling for Matheny's head either. So sort of one of those things where they just need to sort of smooth out the performance, become more consistent, I think, day in and day out. And I think that'll go a long way for them. The question is, you know, now is there enough time? Because the Cubs are still going to be projected to basically play like a team that would win 95 games. I mean, the talent's all there. It's just a matter of do they heat up or, you know, do they underperform their projections? And so we'll see. But like I said, you shorten the season. Anytime you shorten a season, it's kind of like when you watch the mid-majors in basketball, like in the NCAA tournament, it seems like they always try to play a slower pace because the shorter the game, the better chance there is at an upset. And I feel like with the Cardinals basically having a 1-4 shot at the playoffs, now that you shorten the season, there is, I hope, a little bit of a better chance of an upset because I really don't want to be spending another October not watching Cardinals baseball. Honestly, I didn't watch much of the playoffs last year because I couldn't really bear to see it. But you mentioned...
Well, my roommate was a Cubs fan, so I was forced to.
Oh, yeah. I watched the World Series, and I was probably one of the biggest Indians fans. Like, I won't say I was a bigger Indians fan than anybody that, you know, rooted for the team before, but I was a huge Indians fan. I was...
Yeah, exactly.
We were kind of joking around one time, but I took my, like, it was, I think, game 4. I remember it was Javier Baez at the plate and, like, tying run on base or something. And we were joking around because I was, like, under huge stress. And so somebody, like, we used something to check my heart rate. And I was just sitting there watching this game with, like, a heart rate over 100. It was nuts. It was fun, but it was nuts. So I guess... We can talk a little bit more about Stephen Piscotty. I don't know if you saw him. I know you, like you said, you've been paying a lot more attention to the minors lately. So I don't know if you saw him in his rehab. But do you think, you know, is what the issue he has now, do you think it's something that he can bust out of relatively quickly, you know, while he's in Memphis? Can he get that confidence back and sort of at least, you know, make himself into somebody that we can count on to be productive? Because I think without him, you're sort of playing a matching game between, like, Jose Martinez, Randal Grichuk, and maybe Piscotty. You know, if he's healthy and not producing like we should, you've got to basically play a matchup game with 3 right-handed hitters out in right field. So is there anything, you know, that you've seen from him that sort of might spark a little bit, possibly a sign of a breakout that he might bust out of this slump?
So I was talking about this in the Redbird Daily group chat. I think his problems are 100% mechanical. I know, you know, the issue going on with his mom is tragic, and everybody's keeping it in his mind, and that has to be weighing on him in some capacity. But I really think that his problems are mechanical. So if you remember back in spring, he talked about trying to add another layer onto his swing. He calls it stacking. He wants to stack things on top of what he's already built to continue to improve. And the way I understood it, and Derek Gould did a great job of really taking a deep dive and explaining it, but the way I understood it was he was trying to stay more on his back leg to be able to drive the ball more, which is good, except that when he's on his back leg, now his bat tends to go in and across the zone, and so it's out of the hitting zone more quickly than it would have been, whereas before he could be off on a misidentified curveball and keep his bat in his zone long enough to flip a over the middle. I think that one of his biggest problems is that so his bat's coming in and out of the zone, and I think he believes in his swing changes, okay? I don't think he wants to – the easy solution, everybody on Twitter says, well, just go back to your 2016 swing. You're a good hitter. You hit 23 home runs. I don't have his numbers in front of me, but you're a good hitter. Well, I don't think Stephen Piscotty wants to settle for being that hitter, and I think he trusts his mechanical changes. I think that maybe there's some either more minor mechanical changes to go along with that, to supplement that, that will really allow him to take off. Or, you know, there's also the possibility, I like to call mental mechanics, of he doesn't actually need to do anything differently. He just needs to change how he's thinking at the approach, or what he's trying to do at the plate, whether it's, you know, instead of drive the ball into the left center gap, drive it to the right center gap, and that can kind of take care of things on its own. But I was really kind of frustrated that they sent him to Peoria, not that had anything to do with Piscotty, just that I couldn't watch him because they weren't on MLB.TV. So I didn't get a chance to see any of his rehab at bats. I hesitate to make conclusions based on a box score. You can go 0-for-4 and line out to the center fielder 4 times. But I think he's close. I think he's shown the ability to make adjustments. Back in 2015, going into the season, to add more power. He was on power. Some serious changes, ball more. It was early on in that season, and then he off came up to the big leagues. And the ability is there for him to make the adjustment. Is doing the right thing by trusting his decision in the offseason, as Twitter probably don't want to hear that, but I think it's the right thing for him to do. I think it will make him a better hitter than he was last year in the long run. And I think at some point it's just going to click. Those kind of mechanical adjustments just have a tendency to not work, click, something goes right. Now I can feel it. Now I can repeat it. Now I just go, right? Now you just go and you take off as a hitter. And hopefully he goes down to AAA, gets regular at-bats, works with Mike Budaska, someone he's worked with before, and that allows it to happen. But I don't think that click, or that, you know, feeling what he needs to do, is going to happen with irregular playing time at the major league level. So I think the demotion was 100% correct.
Right. And just to kind of support what you're saying, or we would think that, you know, with a guy trying to add power, that, you know, his – what you look at would be, you know, exit velocity, which is, you know, the speed of the ball off the bat. And then I looked at pull percent, which is available on Fangraphs, because what you kind of expect for guys that are trying to hit more power is that they're going to start pulling the ball more. You see it with guys like Jose Bautista. Matt Carpenter kind of does the same thing. When he's trying to hit for power, he pulls the ball a lot more than when he's not. If you look at Piscotty, his pull percent is only up by 2% over last year, so from 42 to 44, and that's not really much of a jump. Back in 2015, he was really more of an all-field hitter, but he hasn't really, you know, made another jump like he was trying to do. So that might suggest, you know, maybe timing's a little bit off. His oppo percent is actually up by almost 2%, so he's basically sacrificing a little bit of, you know, pull side and up the middle batted balls for a couple extra percent oppo. And that, to me, what that suggests is basically that he's probably just a tick late on a lot of balls. I mean, it doesn't take much to, you know, hit lazy fly balls to right field if you're trying to, you know, drive the ball in the air to left center. You just have to be off by a hair. And so maybe, right, you know, maybe he's a little bit just, maybe it's a little bit of a timing issue and regular playing time is what he needs. And, you know, maybe right now I'm not a real believer in that, thinking the minor league coaches are like better at instruction than the MLB coaches. I know a lot of people think that the AAA hitting coach, I forget his name, but that he's, you know, might be a better hitter than Mabry, because it seems like, you know, when guys go down to AAA, they hit there and then they come back and they, you know, have a hot streak for a little bit. But I think, you know, I don't really buy into that coach being better, but maybe for Piscotty, seeing worse pitching will help him get that timing down. It's sort of like almost like taking live batting practice, right, where, you know, if you're better than the pitchers you're seeing, it's a little bit easier to work on the things that you're trying to work on. And so at the MLB level, you know, he might be able to get exposed. I think somebody – I don't know if it was you or maybe somebody else had looked at like he's been chasing sliders so much more this year than in the past, and he's probably just trying to, you know, get ahead, pull a fastball, and not recognizing the pitch. A AAA pitcher might not be able to get him on that as much, and so he can sit and work on what he needs to work on environment that's a little bit less stressful against worse competition, hopefully start to get right and then come back up. And that's why I was surprised by how fast they moved him through his rehab stint, because if I remember correctly, he was about 2-for-20 between two different levels in his rehab. And so I didn't see his at-bats, so I can't, like you said, I can't speak to how he looked. But just judging off the box score, like obviously 2-for-20 at two different minor league levels doesn't inspire any confidence that you're going to come up and hit in the MLB. And it just, to me, it seems like maybe after a month of being out with an injury, he needed a little bit more time to get back, especially with his swing change, like try to sync that back up, because he's a guy that I think his expected numbers, StatCast and Baseball Savant do expected numbers based on like exit velocity and launch angle, things like that. And I think he's a guy that's, you know, sort of underperformed those. So you would say he's been a little bit unlucky so far, which would, you know, suggest that maybe he could break out. But right now, I think he just looks lost. And I think, like we've been saying, it's more timing than anything else. And hopefully, you know, a stint in Memphis or wherever he got sent to, I don't remember if I saw exactly, but hopefully wherever he is, he can start to get that timing up and get back up to St. Louis in a couple of weeks and try to really contribute down the stretch run late August and through September.
I want to make one more quick point. I'll be really brief. So his batting average on balls in play is .277, which is down from .319 last year. I mean, so there's probably a little bit of bad luck. I don't always want to go straight to BABIP because that's really ignoring contact quality. But there's probably a little bit of unluckiness there. His walk rate is way up, which indicates to me that if he's staying in his back leg a little longer, he's seeing the pitch a little longer, identifying the pitch a little longer. So that's a good thing. His chase rate is down. Like, there's positives that go along with the swing change, and I think once he finds that timing or syncs it up, then he might be able to just take off. But anyway, we can move on now. I just saw that, and I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, I did actually see that his chase rate was down. I didn't mention it. But, yeah, that was a good find, because it really feels like if he can develop a little bit of power and keep sort of the non-contact profile he has right now, that he can be a very good hitter. I mean, even as bad as he's been with a .232 average, his runs created plus is only 10% below average. So, that walk rate, it's really, you know, boosting his value, and it helps establish a lot higher floor for him, which is really important, I think, in what we want from Piscotty. So we just have a couple minutes left here. Cardinals start another two-game series against the Royals tonight, this time at home, after taking the first two over in Kansas City. Hopefully they can keep making a little bit of a run. I think they've won now three in a row. And so hopefully they can win these two games, and then they have another home series after that. So I guess I'll leave it to you to have the last word. Anything you want to see, basically this series, this weekend, we have about 90 seconds, so have at it.
I don't know what the problems are, so I'll just stick to the offense. I think to this offense, last night after a few days off, I want to see him continue to find something that he had in the first half. Dexter Fowler looked like he showed some extra base pop that we really didn't see in the first half of the season, some speed that I don't think we saw in the first half of the season. So if he's finally healthy, you know, maybe he can add that on base percentage and speed that we were looking for to start off the season. I know he's batting sixth yesterday, which was a surprise, but Matt Carpenter with the home run the other day, good to see some power from him again. But really just the offense in general. I know they're not going to score double digits every night. But if we can get into that 5-6 run range, I think they'll be in good shape. The pitching's been solid all year. Rosenthal's nailed down the ninth, so that we need to see that continue. Otherwise, they might be sunk. But other than that, I think just continue hitting from the offense is the biggest key for this team going forward.
Sounds good. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. This is Zach Gifford and Colin Garner. Thanks again, and we'll see you next month.